body returns to the earth, the scripture says the soul, the person, to God who gave it. When our Lord condemned the covetousness of the young man, he said, tonight, your soul will be required of you. The very first time that the word soul is mentioned in the Bible gives us the key. Genesis chapter 2. I'll tell you about the law of first mention, and it's very important. But here in Genesis 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. There he is, made, created, the man's body. But he's got no life. That's what happens when we die. We leave this body. The body's still here, but we're gone. The person's gone. Now look at it. The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became right then a living soul. Sometimes I write to people and I put a verse of scripture down on the bottom of the page, and I often use this scripture over here in 3 John. 3 John chapter 1, chapter 1 is just one chapter in 3 John, verse 1 and 2. When I write to a true believer, a person I know to be one who knows God, whose soul is prospering in grace and faith, I use this. The elder, that's John, unto the well-beloved Gaius, he's writing to his friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish, now this is not God speaking to us, that he wishes us to be in health and wealth and prosper. This is John speaking to a friend. That which involves us and God is the prosperity and good health of our souls, of our persons. But the body's important to us. So John says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. I want you to know God and love God, which you do, but I'd like for your body to be in good health, and I'd like for you to be in prosperity. But if you can't be in good health and prosperity in body, above all things, I want your soul to be in good health, to know God, because that's who you are. This body is not me. It's the house in which I live temporarily, and this body will perish. It's dying now. It's perishing now. It's getting weaker and weaker. But my soul is me. Now, when Adam fell, when he sinned, it wasn't his body that died. When Adam fell, God said, in the day you eat the forbidden fruit, you'll die. But Adam lived 800 years after that. His body did. But his soul died. Spirit, his relationship with God, spiritual life left him. He had a living natural soul, but a spiritual life left him. That's what Paul says in Romans 5. If you turn to Romans chapter 5, it tells us what happened to us in Adam. See, when Adam walked with God, Adam knew no sin. He had no sin. His soul didn't need saving. But when he sinned, he became a condemned soul, a lost soul, a soul without spiritual life, a soul with natural life but no spiritual life. And here in Romans 5, verse 12, Paul says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered this world, by Adam, and what entered with it? Death by sin. Death to the trees and to the plants, and death to man, death to the animals, death. Death came by sin. And so death passed upon all men for all sin. We died in Adam. We lost spiritual life. We lost our relationship with God. Our Lord Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And that's the three things Adam lost. He lost the truth. He believed the lie. He believed Satan's lies. And he lost life, spiritual life. And then he lost the way to God. God put him out of the garden, out of his presence. And Christ said, now I'm the way back to God. And I'm the truth of God, and I'm the life of God. And that's what our souls need. They need to be saved. That's what we're talking about in this message tonight. And that's what he's talking about in verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith. The salvation of your souls. Salvation of your person. Your salvation. Again and again, the scripture declares in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, the soul that sinneth shall die. And Adam sinned, and in him we sinned, and we spiritually died. We've been separated from God. Your sins have separated you and your God. You've lost the truth of God. You've lost the life of God. You've lost the way to God. You're a condemned soul, a lost soul. And my interest primarily is not in the well-being or preservation of my body. I'm like John writing to Gaius. I'd like for my body to be in health and prosper. But my body's dying. It's got to go back to the dust. But this is what I want. I want the salvation of my soul. And now that's what we're dealing with here tonight. Receiving the end of your faith. It's the restoration of your soul. He restoreth my soul. It's the salvation of your soul. It's spiritual life coming back to your soul. That's what our Lord told Nicodemus, you got to be born again. You see, you're born the first time, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. But you got to be born again. Spiritual life got to come back. See, there's several forms of life. There's mineral life. That's the reason that oil burns, is because it's got energy and life. There's mineral life and there's plant life. The plants grow and they live. And there's animal life. And animal life is far above plant life. But then there's human life. As far above plant life as far above animal life as animal life is above plant life. There's life all about us. But then there's spiritual life. There's divine life. There's the life of God. And see, when God made Adam and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, he lived naturally, physically, and he lived spiritually. He was naked and didn't even know it. He'd never lied. He'd never sinned. He never had a wicked thought. He's perfect. God made man upright, but he sought out inventions. He was perfect. He didn't know he was naked. He had no fear. He had no guilt. He had no shame. He had no understanding at all of sin. He walked with God. And the Lord told him, of all the trees of the garden, you're welcome to them. But the tree in the midst of the garden, don't touch it, don't eat it, or you die. And Adam's wife, Eve, she was deceived in this thing. And Satan appeared to them and tempted her, and Adam took the fruit. And immediately, something happened. Immediately. What did Adam try to do? He got some leaves and tried to cover his nakedness. What's happened to this man? He doesn't know what nakedness is. He does now. He's lost divine life. He's lost spiritual life. He's lost God. And all he is a carnal, natural man with physical life. And then he tried to hide from God. He's never had any reason to hide. He's never feared God. He's walked with God and talked with God. Now he runs over there behind the bushes. And now he's stupid. How can you hide from God behind the bushes? Where could you go to get away from God? But he's not thinking. Something's happened to this fella. He's got life, but it's natural life. And then God says, where are you? And he said, I heard you coming and I hid myself. Why'd you hide yourself? I'm naked. How'd you know he was naked? The woman gave me the... Now he's mad at her. He thought she was the greatest thing in the world till this happened. And he tried to blame her for his fault. He was willing for God to punish her and let him go free. This man's wicked. This man's like us by nature. And then he said, really, it's your fault. He said, God, it's your fault. The woman, if you hadn't given me this woman, this never happened. You see, he's a lost soul. He's a condemned soul. He's a lifeless soul. Spiritual life. And then here Peter comes along and talks about the salvation of this out of this mess, the restoration of our soul back into fellowship with God, back into a relationship with God, back on good terms with God, peace, enmity, back reconciled to God. Wouldn't that be something? Well, that's what we're talking about here, receiving the end of your faith. All right, what is faith? We're saved by faith. What is faith? Well, we're not, I've described what a soul is. That's us. And we are lost soul, condemned soul. Now, what is faith? Well, they're not several faiths. I hear people say, you're not the same faith I am. Well, they're not several faiths. There's only one faith. It says four times in the scripture, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The justified live by faith. There are several kinds of faith. There's only one. Ephesians 4 says there's one Lord. We know that. There's one body of Christ, one church. There are a whole lot of churches, but there's one church, the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. The church that Christ said, I'll build. I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There's one church. And there is one hope of your calling. One hope. What is that hope? To be like Christ. It says, now we're sons of God, it doth not appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we'll see him and be like him. And he that hath this hope in him purifies himself. What hope? To be like Christ. There's just one hope. To be like Christ. There's one God and Father. Is that correct? One God and Father. Well, the same scripture that says there's one Lord, one church, one God and Father, one hope, says there's one faith. One faith. And let me tell you what it is. It's the faith of Abraham. That's what it is. Now turn to Galatians 3. Now, I'll make good on that if you'll turn to Galatians 3. The one faith is the faith of Abraham. The same faith Abraham had. That's right. It says here in Galatians chapter 3. Now listen. Verse 7. Now you look at it. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, every single blessed one of them, the same are children of Abraham. Everyone who's of faith is a child of Abraham. All right, look at verse 9. So then, they that be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. All right, look at verse 11. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It's evident the just shall live by faith. Verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on us Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise. Look at that word, the promise. Remember, the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now look at the last verse in that chapter, verse 29. And if you be Christ, if you belong to him, you're Abraham's seed, and you're heirs according to the promise. So, one faith, and it's the faith of Abraham, the faith he had. What was the faith he had? Turn to Romans 4. I'm sure interested in Abraham's faith, because everybody that's of faith is a son of Abraham. Romans chapter 4, and an heir with Abraham of the promise, and there's just one big promise under which everything's contained. Romans 4, verse 1. Well, what shall we say? The end that Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found. Now, if he's justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God, because God knows that fella. But what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. Romans 4, verse 3. He believed God. Didn't say he believed in God, though he did. Didn't say he believed there is a God. He said he believed it. He believed his word. He believed what God said. That's faith. It's believing God. It's not believing there is a God. Even the devil knows that. The devil knows that. When the devil spoke to Adam and Eve, the devil said, hath not God said? There's a God. But Abraham didn't believe there is a God. He believed God. Now go on down to verse 20 of that same chapter 4. Chapter 4 of Romans, verse 20. Abraham staggered not at the promise. Oh boy, you see, there's that word again. The promise. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Strong in faith, giving glory to God. And he was fully persuaded of what God promised. I believe God, Abraham. He didn't know near as much as you know about the gospel. He didn't know near as much as you know about the Bible. He didn't have a Bible. It wasn't a word written at this time. It wasn't a verse. Moses hadn't even started Genesis. This man believed God. And he was righteous. God counted him as righteous. He never heard a preacher. He never saw a Bible. But he heard from God and he believed him. That what God promised, God was able to perform. And therefore, God imputed it. What's that word mean? Reckoned it, charged it, committed it, counted it to him for purity, holiness, righteousness, and the restoration of his soul. God called him my friend. He said, have you heard of Abraham, my friend? Boy, I'd love to have that said about me. My God said he's my friend. You don't need anything else. But he believed God. Well, what's the promise? Galatians 3 again. Let's see what the promise is. Galatians 3. Abraham believed the promise. The promise. The promise. And here in Galatians 3. Now to Abraham and his seed. Now listen carefully. To Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not unto seeds as of many, but as of one. To thy seed which is Christ. The promise is made to Christ and through Christ and to us in Christ. Well, what is the promise? All right, got to turn to another scripture, Acts 13. And here it is so clearly identified by the Apostle Paul, the promise. Acts 13, you've got to read this with me. This is just such a blessing. Acts 13, verse 26, the Apostle Paul speaking at Antioch. Acts 13:26. All right, you have it? Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, whosoever among you feareth God, to you is this word of salvation sent, the salvation of your souls. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they didn't know him, they knew not, through him not, knew Christ not, nor yet the voices of the prophets that are read every day, every Sabbath day, they fulfilled all of these prophecies in the Old Testament concerning Christ. And though they found no cause of death in him, they desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of Christ, they took him down from the cross, laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, his apostles, who are his witnesses to the people. And we, apostles, declare unto you good news, glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, Abraham, Moses, Jacob, that promise made to the fathers, God hath fulfilled that same promise unto us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus Christ again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I'll give you the sure mercies of David in Christ. That's the promise. Read on. Now he's not talking about David here, because whereas he said in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption, but David, after he'd served his generation by the will of God, he died, fell on sleep, was laid into his father's. He saw corruption. But he, the promise, Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, Christ Jesus, the God-man, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. He had no sin. So be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached to you the forgiveness of sin. And by him, who is the promise, all who believe, all who have faith, all who believe God, not all who run up and down the aisle and carry on and get water sprinkled on them and do all this thing you have to supposed to do today, you know, to be religious. Just believe. And yet, believe God. Believe God. All who believe are justified, just as if you'd never sinned, from all things, write them down, past, present, and future, all sin, from which you could never be justified by the law of Moses. Now beware. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of the prophets. Behold, you despise as wonder and perish. I work a work in your days, a work which you in no wise will believe, though a man declares it to you. There's some people like that. I've declared it. God made man, a living soul. He died. He condemned. He lost God. He's out yonder somewhere, lost, under condemnation and judgment. But there's salvation. God promised it way back then. Promised it to the fathers. They wrote about the promise. They believed the promise. Abraham believed the promise. And there Paul tells these folks what the promise is. It's Christ. It's life in Christ. Be it known to you, brethren, that through this man there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. None other name. I'm the way, the truth, the life. He said, no man comes to the Father but by me. But you come by believing. Abraham believed. All right, let's go back to Romans 4 now and pick up where I left off. Romans 4. Romans 4, verse 20. Remember, we read this. Abraham, he's the father of faith. Our faith got to be like his. Got to believe God. Believe God. I'm not talking about the strength of your faith. I'm talking about the object of your faith. Believe God. He staggered not at that promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded what God had promised. What God promised? God promised the God-man that God would come to the earth in human flesh. And he would do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Keep the law. Obey God. Work out a perfect righteousness. Take our sins. Go to the cross. Pay for them. Be buried. Scapegoat. Rise from the dead. Ascend to glory. Stand in the presence of God and intercede for us as a high priest with his own blood. That's the promise in Christ. And what God said he'd do, he's able to perform. Now, therefore, it was charged to him for righteousness. Now then, what's that got to do with me? All right, read the next verse. Now, this wasn't written for Abraham's sake alone, that righteousness was charged to him. Now listen, but for us also, to whom that same righteousness shall be imputed. I can be a friend of God. It can be said about me, I'm the friend of God. I can be holy. I can be righteous. I can be forgiven. I can be justified. I can be sanctified. It's for us also if we join the church. If we work hard for Jesus. If we tithe our income. If we keep a Sabbath. If we apologize for what all things. I don't say that here. It says, it'll be imputed if I believe on him, in God, if I believe God, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Brother, I can do that. I believe God. 74 years old, been preaching here 50 years nearly, and I believe it strong, more strongly now than I did when I started. Message hadn't changed. Not one iota, not one Adam, the same message. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Now this is faith. This is faith. And you see the testimonies of those who believe. Listen to Peter. Christ said one day, whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And our Lord said, "Blessed are you. On that rock I'll build my church." That's the faith on which my church is built. In John chapter 6, our Lord preached, and some of these folks said, "That's a hard saying. Who can hear it?" He said, "I'm the bread of life. I'm the water of life." And they said, "That's a hard saying. Who can hear it? Who can hear it?" So they left. And our Lord turned to the disciples and said, "Would you also go away?" And one of them said, "Lord, listen to this testimony. To whom shall we go? We believe and assure that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are your ears, they hear, your eyes, they see." There was a eunuch that heard the gospel from Philip. And when he heard the gospel from Philip, he said, "I want to be baptized. I want to be baptized. I want to make a confession." And Philip said, "Well, you may. If you believe with all your heart, you may." That's the only thing that Philip used to hedge baptism around with. If you believe. Baptism's for believers. Confession's for believers. He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And Philip baptized him. Paul said this, "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him." I know whom I have believed. I read about him up there, all the way through the book. It's Christ. And I believe. And I believe he's able. He's able to keep. He's able to perform. He's able to save. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him. He's able, Jude says, to keep us from falling. He's able to present us faultless before his glory with exceeding joy. And he's able to raise our vile bodies and make them like his holy body. I believe he's able to keep that which I've committed to him. I've committed it to Christ. Now back to my text. And here's the summary. Here's the conclusion. That verse 9, receiving the end of your faith. The end of your faith. What does that mean, end? The word end. Well, you know, I've got the time to do it. Some of you don't have the time, I guess. But if you look up these words in the Greek and Hebrew lexicon, this word end, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul, this word end means, has several meanings. It means to set out as a definite goal. The goal of faith is the salvation of your soul. It means the point aimed at. The point aimed at of faith is the salvation of your soul. It means the conclusion of the act or the state. It's the conclusion. That's what faith's all about. It's the conclusion of it. Salvation of my soul. That's what faith's all about. And last of all, it's the ultimate purpose for which God gave it, to save my soul. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if you believe him, your soul is saved. Let's read Romans 3. Romans 3. Just a few verses here. If we believe, Abraham believed God, counted to him for righteousness. One written for his sake alone, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, we believe. All right, let's read Romans 3:25. Whom God, now let's go back to verse 23. See who we're talking about here. Verse 23 of Romans 3 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Whom God has set forth." He set him forth in promise. He set him forth in picture. He set him forth in prophecy. He set him forth in person one day. To be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Through what? faith in his blood, to declare God's righteousness, even for the remission of sins of the past. That's the Old Testament saints, their sins, before the cross, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, God's holiness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him that what? Believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is boasting then? What I have to boast about? I'm saved, my soul's saved. I have righteousness. I'm justified before God. What have I got to boast about? My glory is in him, not in myself. I didn't do it. He did it by his grace. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law of works? No. It's by the law of faith. Faith excludes boasting. Faith gives God the glory and the praise. Now listen to the next verse. Therefore, Paul says, we conclude that a man is justified before God by faith, without the deeds of the law. Now, as I preached this morning on television, when a man is justified, that faith produces works. It produces love. It produces humility. It produces generosity. It produces godliness. But that's not how we're saved. We're saved by faith. Abraham believed God. I believe God. All who are redeemed believe God. Believe his word. But when we are redeemed, God restores that life. We walk with God. We enjoy him. We enjoy his word. We don't run from him. We live in praise to his glorious grace that found us and called us and redeemed us. I hope that's a blessing.